Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And the man with whom the crowd was being most impatient opens the scoring for the home team. That was the key here, Skiravi winning it in the air. Nicol wasn't balanced as he went with Aguilera, and it really was a very fine strike of the ball by Fiorin.
As you say, Skiravi is dangerous in the air. He's going to win one or two of those in a match. Just gets a touch on and Barini hits a screamer of a left foot, a superb volley, and I think he'd be a bit less tense after that. But Rob Jones, you see, Mark, he wasn't that far away, but when you strike one as well as that, you've just got to give credit to the forward. Campionato di calcio italiano.
And welcome back to Forza Italian Football's my favourite game series. We've been to Bologna, Rome, Reggio Emilia, even as far up as Germany, but we're coming back to Italy this time. We are looking at a European fixture from back in 1992 when English giants Liverpool returned to European football and took on Genoa in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup. I'm Connor Clancy, your host, and I am joined by resident granddad Kev Pogzielski. So let's get into this.
And he goes to be hugged by his coach. Really did hit that well. And it gave the goalkeeper no chance at all. Somebody's just kissed me on the head because he's so delighted with the goal. And it swerved viciously to curl away beyond any hope that Hooper had.
Well, a marvellous strike. Just the second goal he didn't want to go in. But I mean, once he's hit it, it's swerving away from Hooper. I wouldn't blame the goalkeeper. It was a long way up, but he's just missed the wall, swerved away into the top corner. And as you can see, there's Eli.
Kev Pogzielski, you're back. The people will be happy to hear from you. Me, less so, but how are you keeping?
I'm good. Happy in lockdown. 8 days in.
8 days. Speak to me when you're pushing 20 days and then we can... I'll probably be dead by the time you get to 20 days, though, to be honest. I might have run out of food by then. But I know there is an obvious joke to be made here, right? For people who listen to the podcast, they will be well familiar with the fact that I quite often take swipes at you because you are considerably older than me, but as part of this My Favourite Game series, you have chosen a game from before I was ever born. We're going back to 1992, March 4th and 18th, but more specifically the 4th, I would imagine, for Genoa against Liverpool in the UEFA Cup quarterfinals from that season. So first things first, how old were you when this game was played?
I was nearly 11 years old when when both legs were played, actually.
Okay, yeah, well, I would hope so. I know you have trouble calculating age and time and stuff like that, but I'll trust you on this one. And where were you?
I would have been at home, probably watching with my mum, because my dad probably was at the pub. If he wasn't, then he probably was there with us.
Okay, so that's for the first leg. And for the second leg?
Anfield.
Ah, okay. That must have been quite an experience. Young wee Kev going up to Anfield.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those trips you don't remember. For whatever reason, I tend to certainly remember this game more vividly, whether it was because it was the first leg. But yeah, it was probably a bit later in the 90s before I really sort of started remembering games of football, apart from the odd trip every now and again, the odd goal, maybe John Barnes, etc., running down the wing.
It's kind of interesting that you've gone with this game, given when it was. You were 11 years old, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been with Dan in the first of this series, where we spoke about World Cup memories and primitive football memories tend to be from around the time when you're 10 years old. Like your first World Cup that you remember is the one closest to your 10th birthday, usually, and you've kind of continued with that theme. So why have you chosen this game?
Well, being the age that I was around, sort of 10, well, 9, 10, you had the Italia 90, which was probably the first World Cup that I vividly remember. And maybe that is a little bit because of England's run to the World Cup semi-final, but also it was held in Italy. So there was something about the stadiums during that tournament, obviously the theme tune from Pavarotti, and it kind of piqued my interest, although I was quite keen on my football anyway from quite an early age, because I think I was the firstborn son. I got taken to more of the matches as my mum and dad had two further boys. It kind of you got split into which one was going where at some point. So I think I was just full on the football. And then although Liverpool had returned to European competition for the first time in 6 years and already played three rounds, I think because it was an Italian side post that World Cup, I took a sort of a real keen interest in it. And it was arguably Liverpool's first real test, although being Genoa's first season in Europe, they were kind of expected to almost brush them aside. They'd won the last round 6-0 on aggregate against Tirol of Austria.
So you spoke about this kind of following on from Italia 90. Did that play into the fact that you took a particular interest in this game with it being an Italian team and having fallen a little bit more in love with football in the last World Cup?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. And then if you consider that post this game, it would have been the September of 92 that Serie A began being broadcast onto terrestrial TV in the UK. So after that, it just sort of snowballed into this love of Italian football. I think that we were saying before we came on that the fact that Genoa didn't really pull up any trees after this one season in Europe was probably why I never really attached myself to one side. But as I sort of would sit there every Sunday afternoon to watch the Italian game that came in, you know, I kind of follow players more than anything else, whether that was Giuseppe Signore, Gianluca Vialli. But yeah, it sort of just really bred that love of Serie A.
It's a strange time for these two teams to play each other because neither of them were as good as they had been the previous season. So previously, Genoa had finished fourth in Serie A. Liverpool had finished second in the old English First Division. But then this season, Genoa finished 14th. And bearing in mind that if they finished 15th, they would have been relegated that season. And Liverpool went on to finish sixth. So both had kind of fallen off a little bit. But the fact that it's Genoa playing an English club is quite interesting for me, because Genoa are as close to an English club as you will get in Italy. Obviously, they still go by the name Genoa Cricket and Football Club because they were established in the 1800s to kind of represent England abroad. The name Genoa in itself, they are actually referred to by the English name. The only time they were referred to in the Italian name of Genova was when Mussolini ruled over Italy and he wouldn't have it any other way. When they first set up, they were only allowed to have English people. There were no Italians allowed. And then their first professional coach, the first professional coach in Italy, was an Englishman called William Garbutt, and he was in charge of Genoa and led them to 9 titles. And now, even nowadays, players still refer to their coaches in Italy as Mister because of him, basically. So it's quite an interesting backstory, the fact that it was Genoa of all teams.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been certainly after Genoa and not Liverpool out as well, the more has been made of the English connection with the using You'll Never Walk Alone, if you like. And that was sung through quite regularly after beating Liverpool, almost in homage to their anthem. And now, if you're privileged enough to go to the Marassi, you will see a huge You'll Never Walk Alone banner now held up at the Curva.
Hmm. Or they still sing it as well.
Curva.
Yeah, the Gradinata, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, Gradinata Nord.
So, onto the game then. The first leg at the Marassi finished 2-0 to Genoa. And what do you remember of this?
Well, again, I think it starts with the TV coverage. Unlike today, where you have, I don't know, sometimes an hour of pre-match build-up. I remember something would finish. It would probably be a soap or something on TV that my mum would have been watching back in the days where there was probably only one TV screen in the house. So, you know, what everybody was watching was all based in the same room. But the TV coverage sort of cuts straight almost to the two teams coming out. And it was almost, whether it was, you know, the old school TVs with the huge sort of backs to them, you know, you almost heard, and probably the volume that we had the TV playing at, but I remember the noise at the Marassi almost coming across through the TV because of the vibration of the television set. And sort of you're instantly then sort of hooked on it with the Tribune, I think was, you know, there's this huge We Are Genoa banner going all the way across, you know, right up to the back of the stands and across the pitch as the players are walking out. And it's quite odd, the Luigi Ferraris, that they have to walk across the pitch to get to the pitches as well. So it almost, you know, that's, so that again caught your eye because the players are having to walk straight out, and you can see the Liverpool players as the cameras going close to them, that they're sort of looking around, looking at the fans, rather than what you see now, a very stern faced opposition players, you know, this doesn't faze us. The players were almost, you know, standing in amazement at the crowd within the stadium.
I do think that's another thing, like that We Are Genoa sign obviously was written, as we say it, in English as well, which is almost a greeting to the English people coming, sending a message really, really loud and clear. But most of those players wouldn't have had experience of anything like this, because atmospheres in Italy are quite different even now to in England. And I know Ian Rush had his season at Juventus before this game, so maybe he was a little bit more accustomed to things, but he didn't even start in this game. So Liverpool didn't have a lot of experience in this sort of situation.
No, you probably, although a few of them would have played international football, you only had a couple of players. You had Steve Nicol, who was a European Cup winner with Liverpool when they beat Roma in 84. But you had this strange scenario where UEFA changed the ruling on foreigners in 1991. Now, I don't know if this was to hinder the British sides coming back after Heysel, but Liverpool were in a conundrum where you had Bruce Grobler didn't play, so Mike Cooper started in goal because he was Zimbabwean. You had the issue where the Irish, Scottish and the Welsh suddenly became foreign players in the, I think it was a 4-3-3 on the pitch, one probably in reserve, and if you wanted to use them, foreigner rule coming on the pitch. But it was still a strong Liverpool side. And I know you said that they hadn't done much recently before this game, but, you know, they were English champions, 18 months before. And they, you know, they won a lot while there was no European football for English side. So they were still a strong side.
Yeah, I always wonder about that, though. I mean, winning something domestically and winning something on the continent is completely different, because everything about playing in Europe, playing away from home in Europe, is different to playing anywhere in England, I find. And the Marassi is always quite good for an atmosphere. Even nowadays, it's one of my favorite places to go. And if anyone is traveling to Italy to go to a game, I would wholeheartedly recommend taking a trip to Genoa. It's a good city. You'll eat well and you'll see a really, really beautiful stadium as well. But yeah, I take your point. Liverpool were a strong team, but they set up with kind of a 4-5-1 in this first leg. Whereas in the second leg, I know they had to attack, but it was a very, very much more attacking 4-4-2. And in the first leg in Genoa, was there like a little bit of apprehension? Were they a little bit nervous traveling to take on this Italian side?
Well, they looked it in the lineup, and they looked it in the first couple of minutes. I remember straight from kickoff, the ball broke down the left hand side, and Branco fired it across, and Stefano Aranio scuffed it just wide. Then there was a sort of an interchange between Thomas Schiavavi and I think it was his strike partner Carlos Aguilera, and then Hooper saved low of his feet. They were at sixes and sevens for the first sort of 10 minutes, Liverpool. Then they kind of came into it in the second half, but the atmosphere clearly got to them.
Well, yeah, I think it did, didn't it? Because you speak about the noise that you hear at the Marassi, and obviously the place erupted after 39 minutes when Valeriano Florin put them ahead, and then it stayed at 1-0 until the 88th minute and Branco got his goal, and that is a real kick in the teeth to go back to Anfield with a 2-goal deficit to overturn. They didn't make it easy for themselves, Liverpool.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
No, absolutely. I think the second goal as well was probably one of the things that stuck in my head. Branco sort of takes this run up that is almost as far away from the ball as the ball is from the goal. He must be approaching 30 yards out. And, Roberto Carlos are probably a player that you're just old enough to...
I know Roberto Carlos. Yeah.
Would take these abnormally long run ups, really. Made famous probably from his Le Tournois goal in 97, but he just hit it, but he's so central as he strikes that ball, but he sort of hits it with the outside of his boot. It almost goes around the wall and has so much swerve on it, it ends up in the top right hand corner if you're the goalkeeper looking at it. And after that, yeah, you've got no away goal. And although Liverpool had worth remembering turned over a 2-goal deficit against Auxerre in the second round earlier in the competition, we're going to find it extremely difficult. Now, whether that would have put fear in Genoa minds that Liverpool had turned it over at home, and remember Liverpool had never been beaten at Anfield before in Europe, before Genoa went and turned them over there. So they would have also felt confident they could do exactly what they did to the French side.
Yeah, well, Liverpool were going back to Anfield knowing that they had scored in 15 of their previous home European games. But Genoa, after this first leg, had kept three consecutive clean sheets in the Europa League, which was a record. And Liverpool had stopped a streak of scoring in European games. So Genoa will have taken confidence from this, for sure. On to the second leg then. And Liverpool did switch things up quite a lot. So John Barnes and Ian Rush came into the team. And Barnes, Jan Mobley and Stephen McManaman did really, really well to carve out chances. But Rush and Dean Saunders, who ended the competition as the top scorer with 9 goals despite getting knocked out in the quarterfinals, they were quite wasteful and they kept missing chances.
I obviously for this podcast sort of went back and looked at the highlights, and I kind of remember it more that Simone Braglia had a wonderful first half in goal. He certainly kept a lot out. Like, they sort of tested him a lot. There was a later in the second half, there was Ian Rush missed from probably 5 or 6 yards out of the cop end after he'd equalised. But I kind of always remember it as a sort of a great goalkeeping performance rather than a sort of a, you know, a defensive masterclass where you see sort of 10 men behind the ball and sort of all backs to the wall.
Yeah, I suppose there's probably a bit of truth in that as well. The game was, is it fair to say, when Carlos Aguilera scored after 27 minutes, that kind of killed the tie?
Yeah, I think so. You wonder whether if Liverpool got a goal back before half time, but I think the fact that they went in at the break and they'd had that gap from European competition. And sometimes when you've sort of had great comebacks like they had against Auxerre, you kind of just accept that you maybe only get one of those a season. You can ride your luck so far, but then maybe it's not going to happen again. And I think that crucial away goal meant that you needed four, and it was largely out of sight.
Yeah, well, Ian Rush did get a goal within 5 minutes of the second half starting, but that was it then. Carlos Aguilera got his second on the night with 20-odd minutes left, and that was how it ended. Genoa won 2-0 and 2-1. And it was a big, big night for them. As you say, they were kind of applauded off the pitch at Anfield, and a lot of the fans at Anfield applauded seemingly the Genoa away support. And then, like you said, they took You'll Never Walk Alone, kind of like they're stealing it to mark the victory, but also it's almost like it's a respectful gesture as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of teams are quite impressed with how, you know, even now, you know, that was a standing cop back in the day, which was somewhat different to what it is now with the, since the seating's been put in 94. But whenever an away side comes to Anfield, you always see the fans. Well, now it's camera phones that are sort of standing. Yeah, before camera phones, it was almost fans would stand there in respect of You'll Never Walk Alone being sung out by the fans at the other end of the stadium. And I think the fact that they now sing that at Genoa before home games, like they do in lots of other stadiums, like Borussia Dortmund, for instance, is a sign of respect more than anything else.
As a Liverpool fan, how do you feel about that with other clubs? So obviously there's the discussion between Liverpool and Celtic about whose it was first and blah, blah, blah. But Dortmund and Genoa have obviously like adopted that. Is it a bit annoying?
No, I don't think it is actually. Well, I don't find it is. Obviously, it was a local band that kind of made Liverpool adopt it rather than so nowadays I was having a discussion online actually with somebody about the Liverpool are quite well known for taking tunes and sort of putting them to a player's name and, you know, making a sort of a witty chant for them. And then some, you know, soon it gets out of hand that sort of several other clubs have got it. I don't think You'll Never Walk Alone works like that. I think it is fully respectful. And when I've been to, so I went to the Genoa derby back in 2012. And if anything, it makes me feel more connected with that game that I'm watching, because it's sort of, it's something from home and you can see a group of fans singing it so passionately. I've been on the Yellow Wall in Dortmund, probably the year before actually, when they were playing Leverkusen and the Dortmund fans were, you know, doing a wonderful rendition. And it's, I find it nice.
So you don't have an Italian team, obviously, right? But do you have any sort of warmth towards Genoa because of this game?
Yeah, I probably do. I've probably looked out for them, certainly for the next couple of years when I was younger, as you were younger. But, you know, they spent a decade out of Serie A. So almost 2 years after it started being broadcast in the UK, they were out of the league. The contract for broadcasting probably ended before they even returned. So, yeah, although I've got a little soft spot for them, I was sort of they were taken away from me, or they took themselves away from me by being relegated and not putting up much of a fight to come back, really.
So if I was to lock you in a room and say that you're not allowed out until you tell me who your favourite Italian team are, would you say Genoa?
Yeah, I probably would, because the others would be your classic glory hunting teams, I suppose. You know, the teams I remember them watching would be Milan of the early 90s, probably the couple of years where Juventus won the Champions League in 96. Yeah, and well, actually, I was never a big fan of Inter under Mancini and Mourinho, but sides that I probably watch more than most.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get that out of you, to be honest, because now we can have our own little Derby della Lanterna on the regular FIF pod once the season gets back up and running. We've got Genoa represented by Kev, and Sampdoria obviously represented by Vito as well.
Well, that's another point of this game. So after knocking Liverpool out, Genoa played Ajax in the semi-finals and lost 4-2, I think.
4-3 on aggregate, yeah.
But we were really, really close to having the two sides from Genoa in both, I call them major European Cup, European competitions. I know we had the Cup Winners' Cup back then, but I've never really found where I sort of put them in order of priority with the UEFA Cup. But when Samp lost, obviously, to Barcelona in 1992, you could have had Genoa lining up in the opposing final.
Yeah, it would have been quite strange, that, wouldn't it? This Genoa team, though, if they had played as well as they had the previous season in Serie A, they might have gone on to do a little bit more. I know they got to the semi-final, but who knows? They might have been able to beat Ajax and then go on to win the competition themselves. Kev, have you anything else to add about this game?
No, I think that's it. It's been lovely to reminisce.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining me to talk about your favourite game, Kev.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Simbolo del Genoa, la nostra gioventù. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.